Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Everyone, and welcome once again. It's that time. We're going to run this town tonight. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again. It's 347-637-3220. The place to be if you want to talk to me, and we're going to be talking fantasy today. Yes, sir. Got a chat room sitting out there. If you'd like to jump in that chat room and ask a question on fantasy, we're starting off with the man with the plan, the face of the franchise, the guy that's supposed to know it all and do it all, the guy who gets the most credit when it goes good and gets the most blame when it doesn't. We're talking about the position that some people fall in love with and draft in the first round. I'm not one of them. The quarterback position, the land of Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, Alex Smith, Joe Flacco, Philip Rivers, Eli Manning. The list goes on and on. And all of those may be in my list from 1 to 25. And I'm going to give you some sleepers. So we're going to be here. That show is an hour. It may go over. We're going over if it goes, because I'm going to give you everything I can possibly give you, because I'm going to make restitution for what happened last year, how bad and off my predictions were. And hopefully I'm spot on, or close to being spot on, I should say, as much as possible. First time in a few years that I didn't win a championship. So the information I gave you, I always put I always do in drafting and playing fantasy football. And if you listen to me, you probably didn't fare too well, unfortunately. Some of them did. Some of them were hits. Some of them weren't. A lot of them weren't. And quite naturally, I suffered also, so it's just not you, it's me too, but I know you're not worried about me. You want information from me to give you solid information from me, so you can take advantage of that when you go into your draft and during that fantasy football season. Well, my pledge to you, I've dug deep this year. I've had a, I wouldn't say an epiphany, but I've been to the top, reflected, and I'm have a chip on my shoulder and a point to prove that my namesake, the Master, will redeem itself this year, this season, the season of 2016-2017. So let's go. Let's run this town, starting from the man who handles the ball the most, the quarterback position. We're going to start from the bottom and work our way up. And then after I go from the bottom, I'm going to give you some thoughts on how I feel about some other quarterbacks that may not have been in my top 25. But I feel, believe it or not, are going to be surprises this year. Going to be surprises this year. So let's start with one of the most least prone quarterbacks in the NFL. One of the quarterbacks, I think when I start describing him, you'll understand, you'll know who this is, that doesn't like to throw the ball or take deep shots down the field. He's basically on a running team, and he likes to he acquired a target that turned out to be very reliable, and we'll be talking about that target in the weeks to come. He's from the heartland. Very reliable quarterback with a very stout defense. I'm talking about none other than Alex Smith sitting at my number 25 position. Very, very steady. Quite nasty as a quarterback, too. He's the type of guy that you would use in a bye week. And their bye week, Kansas City's bye week, is in week 5. So he's the type of quarterback that I would definitely use in a bye week.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. He does have weapons with Jeremy Maclin, Travis Kelce, Jamaal Charles when he's healthy coming out of the backfield. Connolly on the other side. So he does have some weapons that he's becoming more and more comfortable with, especially Travis Kelce and Jeremy Maclin. And in training camp, Jamaal Charles is on the pup list, so he won't be able to really get a feel for him. Jamaal Charles, I'm talking about, and Alex Smith, I'm talking about also, until he comes back to complete the trio of weapons that he has. Like I previously stated, Jeremy Maclin, Travis Kelce, and when he comes back, Jamaal Charles. They have ample backups. They had a winning record when Jamaal Charles went down. So, still, Jamaal Charles, 5.5 yards per carry, is a hell of a weapon to use when healthy. Alex Smith, Mr. Checkdown, why Travis Kelce is so effective and takes calculated risks downfield to a surefire target in Jeremy Maclin. He's my number 25 quarterback. All right. Let's move on to my number 24 coming back from an ACL. Says he's going to wear a knee brace going into the season, going into the regular season, to help steady that knee. Give him some mental confidence in that knee. And everybody has their own thing about coming back from an ACL. So Joe Flacco, who's my number 24 quarterback, who is among a plethora of Raven quarterbacks. I mean, a Raven players that are coming back, including his main wide receiver in Steve Smith, who's coming back from an Achilles, I'm sorry. His doctor who operated on him said it was the worst Achilles injury that he's ever seen. He ruptured completely. I mean, it was like, had to be pretty bad if the doctor saying it was the worst one he's ever seen. But anyway, we're talking about Joe Flacco. Like I said, he's coming back from an ACL. It's another quarterback, too. He's a full participant in training camp. And as long as he is the old Joe Flacco, and quite naturally, I think the knee brace gives him reassurance to be the Joe Flacco. He'll be thrown to his new receivers, Mike Wallace. And if Breshad Perriman can stay healthy, Breshad Perriman, he could be looking at low-end quarterback one. But I can't trust these. Receivers. Breshad Perriman, like I said, can't stay healthy. Mike Wallace is a one-trick pony, in my opinion, and he's proven me right. A nine-route runner, just straight nine. Doesn't really run the route tree that well. And you got Steve Smith, who is the elder statesman, coming back from a very serious injury where wide receivers need that explosion, and you won't have to wait and see if he has that explosion with a Achilles injury that is really tough as you get older to come from. I got a caller on the line. Let me bring this caller in. I think I know who this guy is. Haven't talked to him. Wish he had called me a few weeks ago. Without it, but that's all right. I'm not downplaying it. We'll bring in Macau right now and welcome him to the show. What's up, my man?
What's up, sir?
How you doing?
How are you? I'm good. I'm good. I apologize for not being able to keep up with you consistently. Usually I'll be knocked out right around this time.
I understand. A lot of people are in the same position that you would be in. The prone position and in bed with their eyes closed and catching up on the rest after a Saturday night or just want to sleep in on Sunday. I wish you had jumped in. Not that I'm saying, I don't want you. I'm just saying that a few weeks ago,
uh-huh.
I had a conversation from a couple other guys. One of them being, I wouldn't say the Trump supporter, but he had the feeling that he was a Trump supporter. And we had it was a totally political show.
I totally missed that.
And the rhetoric that's been coming out of the opposition party, you and I are part of the Democratic Party, at least I think you are. But
I
in the opposition, and the opposition from the other side is absolutely vicious and mind blowing to say the least, especially from the candidate. And now I'm going to talk about fantasy football, but I want to get this off my chest and get your feelings. I think we had talked about this before, but I want to bring it up because I like the way you and I converse, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Now, about a year ago, a little less than a year ago, when they had 17 Republican candidates going up against each other and trying to knock each other out, and now we have the last man standing, the most, how can I say it, the most unlikely one to be standing. And throughout the whole process leading up to now, and he hadn't stopped, he's had one comment after another, after one group or another, whether it be somebody from being disabled, from the gay LGBT community, or from a minority, or from when I say minorities, I mean African Americans. I'm talking about Latinos and also Muslims on the religious side. This guy's only thing he preached is divisiveness and tapped into the worst element of a certain group of people to jump on board. And because he's come out in such vicious ways time and time again, I feel that and there's been quite a few people that jumped out there and thought it was okay because their Republican nominee was saying it. So they think it's okay to say the same type of vicious things and the rhetoric that's been coming out there. And you can see how divisive things are as we get closer and closer to this election. That Mr. Trump, and I'll put him out there, his name, and lie after lie after lie after lie, and been denounced by the top of his party in both parts of Congress, but they still hypocritically support him because that's the Republican nominee. And this last thing that he just jumped on board about, pretty much downgrading or lambasting, but talking negative things about this Muslim father and mother, who's a Republican that spoke at the Democratic National Convention, pulled out his pamphlet of his constitution, and called Mr. Trump out. And also, even though he didn't do it at the Democratic Committee, I saw him on CNN this morning, said what he wanted to say the remainder of his speech, saying that he wanted to call out, the leadership in Congress, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, pretty much saying, why do you have so much shame? Why are you so shameful? Why are you supporting this guy? Where is your moral and ethical standard? Doesn't it stand for something other than you want to? Is it less important to you than your political consequences? That you want to, if he wins, you want to be on the side of Mr. Trump versus if he doesn't win or does win and you talk negative of him and don't support him, then he's going to quite naturally, like he does to everyone, get some type of payback. I don't know. I said a lot. I've been all over the place, I guess. What's your thoughts?
Nah, you weren't all over the place. I followed you the whole time. I mean, this guy is all over the place. You know, I mean, he's literally all over the place. But what I can't wrap my mind around, I mean, I am having the damnedest time wrapping my mind around the fact that these people actually believe that this man is going to fight for Americans and workers. They actually believe this. This dude has done everything to fleece people, to screw people, to screw the government, and all in an effort to become, you know, to get money. But we don't even know how much he's gotten. We don't know how much he's worth. He's not even being forthcoming about himself. But yet he's pointing all these fingers at this caricature that they've drawn up about Hillary Clinton and, the Democratic Party and stuff, but this guy's not forthcoming at all. And, pardon me, but I have 2 degrees. I'm very intellectual. So, I mean, I sat and I listened to him. I heard nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
I heard nothing. But I'm not stupid to not know where he's drawing his power from, you know, where he's drawing the interest from. You know, and it's only two places. The main one that we all see is the bigotry.
Yep.
But the underlining thing, which is really, really dangerous, and I let me just say, I'm not voting for him at all. But the part that's really, really dangerous that he's tapped into is this angst America. You know, this angst about income. And he's given it a foe. He's named it as, you know, these Muslims, these, you know, all these people coming in and stuff like that, blacks and everything else. And it's a powerful message, because while the economy is better than what it was, you know, 8 years ago, it still has its problems. And a lot of the people that are getting left behind are these angry white folks. You know, they there. You know, and another thing, you know, the world is shifting for Anglo-Saxon counterparts. You know, they actually have to compete in this in this economy now, in this America.
Yep.
And that is a big, scary problem. So it's easy to take and turn it around on, you know, Muslims, Hispanics, Latinos, everyone else. You know, it's real easy. But that isn't even the scariest thing, dude. The scariest thing is this dude is bigging up Putin. Putin. He is bigging up Russia, Slim. I'm like, what? I literally cannot believe the Republicans. I'm just like, you know, if anything, they're going to be, you know, proud of America. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If anything, they're going to be there. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give them that. They owned that from the 80s through the 90s, 2000. They owned that. They no longer own it now, bro. Like, you all are embracing a candidate that's, you know, cool with Putin. You know, giving up props to all of the so-called enemies that the Republican Party spent years to build up as enemies. Saddam Hussein, he's respecting Saddam Hussein. He's bigging up Putin. Are you serious? I mean, like, Ronald Reagan is really rolling over in his grave at that. He's really rolling over at his grave. And then this whole thing with the hacking, the breach over at the DNC. I mean, and then he comes out and says, "Yeah, hack it some more and tell us what's going on." I'm like, "Really? You really, dude? That is unprecedented. Like, I don't care if you are an opposition, you're still an American to me, Slim. I wouldn't want anybody from another country, you know, coming over and doing something to you and, you know, harming you and stuff. We all got to come together to deal with that. That's a real issue. Like, that's a big-time issue. How? I just don't understand, man. I really don't get it. Time after time. But, you know, honestly, I do get it. But intellectually, I don't get it. You know what I mean? I'm not.
Common sense would should prevail when you hear a person time after time. I mean, it's countless times that he's put his foot in his mouth and said something stupid or ignorant or something treasonous, as you're talking about what he said with relating to Putin and the Russians. And his supporters denounce it or make excuses for him and still support him. I mean, It blows my mind that if the Democratic nominee said the things that Donald Trump has said, Fox News, Republicans from stem to stern, from east to west coast, from the northern part of the country to the southern part of the country, would be up in arms, calling for the person's head, calling for whatever person out, unfit, and call them all kinds of names. And that hasn't happened.
Just think about this.
As much as Donald Trump has said, he's been called a racist, he's been called bigoted, but he hasn't been called the type of things that he said about other people. Strong women, people who question him, and if he doesn't have a good enough answer, in his opinion, try to bully him or try to downgrade him and deflect what the issue is at hand. And all you get is apologies, and we're hoping he's going to change his ways. We've talked to him. He said he's going to change his ways, but we support him. And that's just to tell me that it's an old saying that Malcolm X said, to win by any means necessary. I'm paraphrasing. I'm just saying any means necessary.
It's by any means necessary. And when you are on the quest for power, you have to be extremely petty. But when you hold in power, you have to be gracious. The Republicans have demonstrated none of this. But I want to give some analysis about the Republicans. Just bear with me. Ever since that man walked into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with his dark-skinned wife and those beautiful children, he walked in there, the Republican Party has just been destroyed. I mean, just destroyed. I have never seen a party just so much in shambles that the only thing that they can hold on to is somebody that they clearly know is some garbage. And then their whole activity during the past 8 years, it's very reflective of how their convention just went down and how the whole election went down. They can't make up their mind on anything. They can't agree on anything. They can't get any type of consistent platform out. It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's just been terrible, horrible. I have not seen anything like this in all my life. I mean, we've known about these things, right? But they always seem to find a way to cling on, get back on top, and stuff like that. Dude, I don't see it now. Like, I'm looking at it, I'm just like, nah, man, y'all can't be serious. And then every now and again, you'll hear a very intellectual Republican, and those are the ones I'm trying to find. I'm like looking for them, like, yo, what kind of thinking is going into what's going on here? Like, I'm gonna tell you straight up, I've got respect for Paul Ryan. I really do. Mm-hmm. I really do,
really?
Because his job is terrible. He's horrible. Like, they don't want him to have any negotiations at all with the president. None.
Right.
Right? But he has some semblance of understanding that, you know, government has to operate. But he knows that the people at the far right are like the crazy. They out their mind. They are totally out of their mind. He's not too straight himself, right? He's not.
Mm-hmm.
But He's better than them. And that's crazy where we are now, man. I like Paul Ryan more than I like Trump. That's how crazy we are now. You got people like Lindsey Graham saying, while he's gritting his teeth, that I support Donald Trump. Gritting his teeth. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I have never seen that, man. Never seen that. And I felt really good for Ted Cruz, man. I really did. I thought when he did not endorse him, I thought that was the best thing ever. It showed me two things about him. It showed me he really does have character. Two, he really is an ass and a dick, right? Because he should have just totally declined and not even went up there at all, right?
Right.
But he had to go up there. But after this man took and went after his wife, went after his father, I mean, said all kind of disparaging things, and they actually expected him to get up there. They even tried to ridicule him into saying that he's going to endorse him. I was like, what planet are you people on? Like, you people are so bigoted, so racist, you know what I'm saying, and have this caricature, so much of this caricature of Hillary Clinton that you all would just say, forget that this man just said all these things about this man's wife. You know what I'm saying? And then, and then call his father, pretty much call his father a murderer. You know what I'm saying? And
you're right. Yep.
And he's supposed to just be like, yeah, everything all right. I'm gonna go ahead and follow through on my pledge. Are you serious? Nah. It's crazy. It's crazy, man.
Hey, just check this out. And I posed this to a guy I know who's a Republican. When he started talking about Obama and how bad Obama been, I posed this to him. I said, who controls the Senate? Republicans. Who controls the House of Representatives? Republicans.
Republicans.
Who has the majority of the governorships in the United States? Republicans.
Republicans.
So if you guys control those three houses, governors of states, House of Representatives, and the Senate, why are you condemning Obama for not getting anything done when you guys control everything except for the presidency?
Uh-huh.
And my response I got from him, enough about politics. What I just said, that is exactly what was told to me. Enough about politics, and we moved on to something else. Yeah, that's the fact. That's not made up. I didn't just make that stat up. That's a fact. They control those three levels of government. Governorship.
And then in all honesty, Obama is the most Republican-leaning Democrat I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
In my life.
Yeah. 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 So, and if you try to pose that to a Republican, just like I did, they're going to say that, well, he's the most divisive. And I still, to this day, I've been told by a few Republicans he's one of the most divisive presidents in the country. I mean, in presidents. I said, he's a black man. How can you think a black man that's grown up in this country is going to be divisive at being the president? I said, come on. He said, trying to blame him for the ills in race relations in the country. I said, you can't be serious. You cannot be serious. Before he came into office and long after he's going to be in office, the state of things in this country in some shape or form are going to be as they are right now, some shape or form, because that's the inherent nature of this country. So with
race
with any,
is in the DNA of this country, bro.
Yep, yep. So whether you want to believe that or not, whether you want to believe that, and the same person I said months ago when Trump was in the race, when they had the Dirty Dozen plus them in the race, I told him straight up, this is exactly what I told him. I said Trump is all out there for himself. He don't care about anybody and anybody. If you listen to what he's saying, he's always pumping himself up and putting everybody else down. He's out there just for himself and nobody else. And if you think he isn't, you're sadly mistaken. And I also told him this. I said, and this is before there's been a big outcry in the last few weeks or months. I told him this early part of fall, that there's a huge race problem in this country. And he said, no, it's not. I said, yes, there's a huge race problem in this country. You don't see it because you live in a certain environment and you don't experience it. So you have no idea. Now he can't say, he really can't say too much because it's come to a head, obviously, with the technology of cell phones and video that we all knew was going on for decades.
We all know it's been going on.
But because the system takes the word, and I'm not discounting police officers, but takes the word of police officers when it has to do with minorities, for the most part, or the poor, I should say. Because poor white trash, I hate to say it like that, but poor white trash gets thrown into the mix too. But I'm talking really about minorities. And it's their word against yours. And for the most part, they're going to take the side of the police officer because he's supposed to be the person to uphold justice and is above reproach. So obviously, when you start seeing things on video and people are getting smarter and smarter about showing what's actually going on, sometimes that doesn't even work because you get people out there that are making all kinds of crazy excuses about what we just saw. So
right.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think you live down in Baltimore. Am I right about that? Or you?
No, I live in I live just outside of D.C. But okay. That Baltimore thing is, oh my goodness. Anything
that's what I'm
going to
ask you
about.
What's your thoughts on that? Give me your thoughts on that. That Freddie Gray and all the officers not getting anybody getting held accountable for that.
Man, straight up, Baltimore is dirty. You know they have been dirty for a long time, and everybody know it. You know,
right?
Everybody understands it. Like, and the reason I'm saying they're dirty, for all you that don't understand, look, when you get arrested, you should make it to the precinct.
Yeah.
Regardless if you did it or you didn't do it, you should make it to the precinct, bruh.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? You don't just get arrested and not make it to the precinct, bruh. I mean, like, what is that? That's like a failure of simple process, so-called due process that we got. And then nobody's held accountable. No one is held accountable. Not one police officer, no one. Like, Freddie Gray just got into the truck himself. Nobody was driving the truck. Nobody put him in. Nobody handcuffed him. No one. And he just wound up dead by the time he got to the precinct. Like, I mean, what? I mean, there's nothing to explain. There's nothing to explain. Regardless if he was a criminal or he did something, you get arrested, you're supposed to make it to the precinct, bro.
Yep.
You know what
yep.
I'm saying? Once they get you in handcuffs and you are in their custody, you should make it to the precinct. At least. He can't even make it there. I feel for them people down there. I feel them. You know, you had a lot of people talking about, well, how could they, you know, destroy their own property and stuff. I was like, what property do they own down there?
What the hell do they own? I was like, I will give anyone $5,000 out of my own pocket if you can find one of those people that was destroying the CVS that owns any stock in CVS. Just one. All you got to do is find me one. Find me one. You ain't going to find that nowhere. These people are totally disenfranchised. And the police department and the public service sector is supposed to be, you know, protecting them and serving them, and they not. They holding them down. That's all they doing. And they are perfectly content with that. That is why you have these riots and powder kegs that keep blowing up like that. Obama eloquently placed it. He said, these things are going to continue to happen over and over again until we address the problems, the real problems with poverty and with the people of color that's in these areas. It'll happen again in Chicago. It'll happen again in Milwaukee. It does not matter, man. It don't matter. And, like, I just don't understand how they just keep shooting the messenger, man. Did you see all this vitriol they got about Black Lives Matter? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
It makes no sense. None. But
it's more or less like stay in your place, keep your place, because we don't want to hear it. It's more like that. That's more like it is. So whatever it is, you deal with it, and that's the best it's going to get. We don't care what you have to say. If you speak up, you're a terrorist group. You got problems, and we're not even going to address them, and you really don't matter anyway. That's basically what it sounds like. So
that's basically what it is, bro.
Yeah.
They just keep shooting the messenger, man, and I just can't subscribe to that. You know, even anyone that has a different view of mine, I will listen. I will listen to where you're coming from. You know what I mean? And if you want to have, a good intellectual conversation and back and forth, I'm open to that. But it's like these people don't even want that. They are scrambling so hard to control the narrative. And this is why I totally respect Black Lives Matter. I don't like the name. You know what I'm saying? They should have put a 2 at the end of it. But that's neither here nor there. The work that they have done, it's unprecedented, man. They have totally controlled the narrative thanks to, Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that. These people can't control the narrative anymore. These people on Fox News and CNN and stuff, they cannot control the narrative. And it's frightening to them. It is so frightening to them. It's like, this isn't our country. No, dude, this is your country. This is your country. This is your country. It's been your country for a long time. Still is. Still is, man.
Well, I believe this, and I told this a friend of mine that one of the biggest problems I see that the Donald Trump is on fire, I should say. And his message is resounding to the majority of this country, and not all the majority, but I'm talking about numbers-wise, population-wise, I should say. It's because the fear of losing power, to people that don't look like them, and the fear that the power is being taken from them, and they may not be able to control the situations because of lack of power. And I think he's tapped into that mindset with the code words of "Make America Great Again," trying to push the status of America back to the, in quotation marks, the way it used to be, and that's with the majority of the population being in complete power and not being able to relinquish any kind of power to any of the minority population. And I think he's tapped in that to that big time. And there's a thought that a lot of the majority of the population thinks that what kind of country is it going to be if people of color run more and more things? Where will I stand in that narrative? What's your thought?
Right. And you see it, and you see it on the front lines every day, bro. I mean, like, one of the things you're seeing a lot of these white folks that are bringing, you know, civil cases to the Supreme Court, saying that they are discriminated based on their color. Like, I'm like, what? I mean, the girl just had her case thrown out in the Supreme Court. A white girl said that she wasn't accepted into the college of her choice because they were accepting more minorities. If she was minority or, you know, a person of color, she would have got in or whatever. So it's just real, the things that they are arguing. And it's look, they've had a good run.
Yep.
They've had a good run.
Yeah.
You know, they've had a really good run. You know, but we've all contributed to this country. We should all feel the fruits of this of all this labor and all the stuff that we've all done. I'm not discounting anyone's family or what color they are and stuff like that. Everyone should have at least a shot. You know what I mean? You get a shot, you blow it. Hey, you had your shot. You know what I mean? But I totally agree with you. Like, they can't fathom this new America. You know, with blacks, whites, Hispanics, gays, transsexuals. I mean, we are all over the place now, man. We are just all over the place. All over the place, man. And they really have. Everyone has to really compete. Well, saying that to you or I, that's no new news. We've always known that we have to perform 4 to 5 times better than anyone beside us, or, you know, of different color or different race. We already understood that.
Exactly.
But now our youngins are like, we're not going for that. We think that we should be able to get through with our merit. That's it. Yours against mine, against his and hers and everything. They totally changing. They're totally changing the conversation, bro.
Oh yeah.
They not going for that. And, like, you know, on one hand I'm proud of them. You know, on one hand I'm proud of them, but
you got to be. And I don't know if you know about this guy. I peeped into the Republican National Committee because I wanted to see what was going on. I peeped into the first night, and it pretty much turned me off from there. Reason being is this: after the first night, they had a panel on CNN. I don't know if you saw this or not. I don't know if you heard about it or not. You probably did, but I'm going to reacquaint you with this. Congressman from the 4th District of Iowa. His name happens to be Steve King. I don't know if you've heard of that guy's name before, but Steve King said on CNN and on the air, and this was no joke, he said it with a straight face, and he was dead straight. He wasn't drunk or anything. I couldn't believe when he said it. And there was one sister on there sitting on it, and she was doing everything she can to not go over the table to get at this guy. This guy said this, and I'm trying to get it exactly, not exactly, but close to what he said. He said to this, that In essence, he said, what subgroup has contributed? Now just understand what I said. What subgroup besides whites made any contributions to Western or Eastern civilization? Do you recall hearing that?
Yeah, I recall
what,
hearing
that. What subgroups besides whites made any kind of substantial or any kind of contributions to Western or Eastern civilization? And the sister, there was another white guy that was talking to him. He was the I guess the lead commentator. He was talking to him. He was right next to him, and his sister was behind, sitting right next to him. And I'm telling you, when I said this, Macau, the guy had to physically put his arm in front of this woman because she was ready to go after him. She was that upset. You know how sisters get when they get upset. You see the eyes rolling. You see the jaws pumping. You see all kinds of things, facial expressions. She was ready to go at this guy, and he said it more than once. In the same, and I, my mouth dropped when he said it. I said, "Oh no, he didn't." I said, "I couldn't believe he said that." And that's the type of he's a U.S. congressman. He's one of many in the Congress that makes laws, and he absolutely believed that. He said it. That's scary.
Yeah.
That is scary.
Mm-hmm.
A lawmaker. So when you have a lawmaker among God knows how many other lawmakers from the same party, or even maybe not even from the same party, could be from either party. But when you have lawmakers, and we're talking about Republicans now, we have lawmakers that think like he does or have some type of mindset like he does, you think they're going to make laws to benefit these so-called subgroups, or they're going to benefit people that look like him?
They're going to benefit people that look like him.
And people, and people, especially white people, don't see that, or don't want to see it because it benefits them. And
right.
You should be happy. You should be happy with what you have.
Right. It benefits them, and it's also not in their backyard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That
mm-hmm.
whole not in my backyard type of deal. Yeah, you can mm-hmm. go ahead and put it over there in the color section, or, you know, the Asian section over there. They'll deal
mm-hmm.
with it, but we ain't going to have it in our backyard. Same thing,
right,
man. They've been doing this forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. And they've been feeling like that's not no new sentiment. It's not no new sentiment. It's shocking to hear him say it out like that in 2016, but it doesn't surprise me. You know, it's not
yeah.
new.
Yep,
it's
you're right.
It's totally not new. You know, and we've experienced it. We thought we really we've overcome that type of stuff, but we really haven't. We really haven't. And don't get me wrong, then we've made a lot of progression. You know, however, you know, you just can't. It is painstakingly frustrating to deal with ignorance. It's painstaking. I mean, it's really terrible. It's
mm-hmm.
the worst thing in the world, especially when you have a degree of understanding, knowledge, logic, faith, spirit, everything. It's hard to deal with ignorance, man. As soon as they throw ignorance in the game, I just turn the TV off, or just like I'm done. I'm done. These people are ignorant. I can't do it. I can't do it. I just can't do it no more. Man. It's frustrating. So frustrating.
Yeah, it is frustrating. And you would have to think, now, come on, man. At the history of this nation from the inception of people coming over here until now, and to the nerve to say that the only group contributed anything that's worth anything, it would be someone that looks like him. Come on,
yeah.
Man.
Well, I hope,
I hope he doesn't have a heart attack. I hope he doesn't have a heart attack because,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it
yes,
was
sir.
A brother that came up with a way to do a triple bypass surgery. So,
yep.
Yeah, bro, don't have a heart attack.
Yep.
Don't have a heart attack. Because I know we didn't save Billy Clinton. I know we didn't save him. We didn't save a lot. And you know what? We saved a lot of those type of white men. A
yes.
lot of them been saved, but a lot of us haven't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we haven't been getting health care. We haven't been getting proper health care. Like, like when we have a heart attack, that's it. We out. We gone.
Mm-hmm.
We might be strong enough to hang around at hospice, but that's about it. But if you happen to be lucky enough to have the health care, you know, the proper health care, you can make it from something like that.
Sure.
You know, and these mm-hmm. are the contributions that we've had. We've had numerous contributions. This is why we have Black History Month, to remind us, you know what I mean, of our contributions to this country. Because it could just go so unnoticed. And what baffles me is just how they just ignorantly just bypass this stuff, bruh. They just keep doing it. They just keep doing it.
Well, just imagine this. How much of in the schools, regardless of what school uh-huh. level, besides being in college, and you probably have to take a particular course to learn about the contributions of minorities. And I'm not just talking about black people. I'm just contribution of minorities to this country. But in general, if it's not in the African-American-dominated school or minority-dominated school, for the most part, contribution for minorities is not taught. So quite naturally, someone that is not a minority is thinking that the contributions, for the most part, that have been given from people in this country have been people that look like them.
Yeah.
So, let me put it this way. That's not done by accident.
No, it's not.
That's been going on for a long time. That's not done by accident. That's why you have things like that have to do with minorities, awards, Black History Month, things like that, to make people, especially their own, aware of the contributions that people have and acknowledge those contributions of minorities.
Right, exactly. Because it would totally be marginalized. It would
mm-hmm.
totally be marginalized.
Right.
I mean, just look at what they did to my black brother in that White House, bro. I mean, went at his
yep.
birth certificate, said
yep.
that he was. I mean, he was with the what was that? The bombers back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the guy. Oh man, it's just been total nonsense. Back and forth, saying that he's a Muslim, and they still saying that.
Yeah, and let me tell you this: even if he was a Muslim, and I'm not saying he is, why would that make a difference? He's still the president of the United States. He's still an American.
Right, he's still an American. What difference do it make?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but. There's a commentator that I really enjoy, Roland Martin. You know him?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That's my dog. That is my dog. He was on the Wendy Williams show and he was checking her.
He lit her up.
Yeah, he lit her up. That was beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
He's
mm-hmm.
checking her, and one of the things that he said that was so poignant, he pointed out that, you know, we have only technically been free for 47 years.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Since like 1970. And I was talking to a friend of mine about it, and he was like, man, that don't sound right. I was like, look, you have to watch this on YouTube, bro. And the way he broke it down, it was so right on, spot right on. Like,
yep.
And it goes to our conversation you know, it's a different world. It's a different world for these people now. You know, we're conducting ourselves differently. We're keeping everybody accountable, and we have all the tools to do so, and we're using it. We're just not using it as fast, and there's not as many of us as doing it as much. But the people that are, they on it. They are on it. They are
right.
on it. We do have, you know, a lot of pookies, but who doesn't? You know what
yep.
I'm saying? Who doesn't?
Yep.
Which race doesn't? You know, they got Bubbas, we got pookies. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
It's really no difference, man.
You're right.
It's really no
You're right.
difference.
You're right.
Really, really no difference.
All right. This is what I got to do. Unfortunately, I had the show going one way, and you come on, and we got off. But that's okay, because I always enjoy talking to you, my man. It's few and far between, and I enjoyed absolutely having a conversation with you, man, because nowadays, and it just happens, we don't get a chance to talk to each other. So when it happens, I like to stay on the subject that we're talking about. Like we just talked about versus what I had planned, because I can always double up next Sunday. So I appreciate you staying on here. Hold on a minute and don't go anywhere yet. People were expecting me to do quarterbacks rankings. I'm going to double up on the positions next week. I think it's quarterbacks and tight ends next week, if I'm not mistaken, or wide receivers, whatever the position other than quarterbacks, that we're going to do both of them next week. It's going to be a 2-hour show next week from starting at 10 o'clock. So I apologize for not going through with the quarterback rankings completely. I'll start from where I number 25 and work my way up again. And tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with me. My name is JT. My initials are JT. It's the master, the master plan. And we'll roll back it again. Mikal, I really appreciate you coming on, man. It's been always a pleasure talking to you. We don't get a chance to talk to you.
Whenever you setting the table to have, you know, some political banter, text me. All you gotta
okay.
do is text like Mikal,
okay.
I need you to call the show now. That's all you gotta say. I'll hit
no
you
problem.
Back, say I could do it, I'll be there. Or, you know, I'll hit you back and be like, I can't do it right now. Or so just,
well,
that's how much access you got. You got the number, bro. You in my phone, too.
Yeah, I do have your number, and I'll make sure I text you at least a day ahead of time, so I'll give you some heads up or whatever. So
it could be an hour. It could be an hour.
If you zing out, I ain't gonna do no good. So,
I run my own business. I can stop. It doesn't matter. I can stop.
No problem.
You can text me. If you put it together, or you going to be like, hold up, it's too many of y'all over here. Let me text my man to call in here. I will call in and you know, I'll sit there and listen and talk, whatever you want, bro.
No problem. I really appreciate it. All right. With that being said, I appreciate Mikal calling as always. Always a brother that from another mother. I appreciate him calling in here. We're gonna wrap it up for today. And I'll talk to you people next week, same time, same place, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday. Or if you'd like to listen to the FSB crew, which is 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night, you can do so. I'll be the host of that. Or if you want to catch me again on Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the FSP show, Victor Gardner is still hosting that. I'll be co-hosting. Got three ways to contact me, three ways you want to talk to me if you want to, or three ways to listen to me if you'd like to do that. That being said, I'm out. Macaulay, picking on Baylor, you can say we poppin' Ollie.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.